So where we're heading with this talk today, I'm going to talk about the Best for Babies Alliance, which was the group of individuals that came together that really supported this project in the community. I'm going to talk about just some core principles related to CBPR. We're going to go into the methods of our research and just a gloss of the results, because we really can't get into as much detail as we'd like, and then lessons learned and future steps for the project. So just to touch on a few points about CBPR, some of you may be familiar with CBPR and some of you may not, but there's some core principles there. CBPR builds on the strengths of the community and facilitates shared learning at all phases of project development and implementation. Knowledge is acquired for both the benefit of the community and the researcher, and everything is conducted in a shared capacity, whether that be recruitment, data collection, data analysis, dissemination, all of that is done together. The origins of this project started with the community recognizing the opportunity that breastfeeding provides in addressing health disparities in the African American community. So the Alliance is made up of a whole host of folks, both researchers and community folks. And the vision of our Alliance is to create a sustainable group that will ensure that from before a baby is born in Durham County, every individual interacting with the African American mother supports her in her effort to breastfeed. And this includes whether that be healthcare providers, social service providers, families, friends, child care providers. And the composition was very diverse. We had researchers, but we also had employers, we had local government entities, we had many healthcare providers represented, and many public health providers. And to date, we have over 80 different folks participating on the Alliance. And our primary objectives were to really build the Alliance, build these partnerships, which is a key component of CBPR and much of what we did in this first 2 years of our grant, and design and conduct a needs assessment. We needed to know what's already happening in the community around breastfeeding and where do we need to go. And then from that needs assessment, identify a pilot that we could test for acceptability. There really wasn't enough time to really test it for outcomes, but to just try it out and see if this is something that the community was interested in. And then lastly, to put together a long-term proposal for sustainability. So the methods, first we did a secondary data review, and that was really informative in that we learned most women were in fact initiating breastfeeding in Durham, but not continuing breastfeeding as far as African American women were concerned. And then we did a series of focus groups with moms, dads, and grandmothers, and a series of surveys with key stakeholders in the community. And then we had a pilot intervention that, again, we tested for acceptability. And then we did some sustainability planning. So now I'm going to jump into the focus groups and give you a little bit of detail about that. We had a total of about 50 participants with African American mothers, fathers, and then grandmothers. And we wanted to know their attitudes towards breastfeeding, barriers to breastfeeding, facilitators to breastfeeding, the extent to which they were receiving knowledge about breastfeeding, the norms for breastfeeding in the Durham community, and then ideas how to promote breastfeeding. We wanted to hear from them what they thought would make a difference in their community. And so this is just barely touches the surface of what we found from these focus groups. But some general themes came out around lack of support, lack of culturally appropriate support. These women talked about the fact that there were no African American lactation consultants that they could get support from, and that seemed important to them. That there was very little support for single women, teens, young moms, that these women were really having to go out and work and didn't have the support for breastfeeding and working. And then this idea around a non-breastfeeding culture, many of these women talked about the fact that they had never known somebody to breastfeed. And when they talked to their friends about breastfeeding, they said, oh, well, I wouldn't do that, but you can do that. So not a lot of support, again. And then other barriers, just negative opinions about public breastfeeding, and then a perception of differential treatment from healthcare providers, and then also some concerns about acquisition of formula through WIC. And so then we asked them to share their thoughts on what they thought would make a difference in Durham. And here we've broken it out. We did have focus groups that were with higher education women, and then lower education women, and then fathers and grandmothers. But you can see, in general, support groups, peer and mentor support, some workplace support among the low education women, and then social marketing approaches really came out on top. Okay, now I'm going to turn it over to Elizabeth.
Hi, and so I'm going to talk about the last two parts of our project. The first part is the community surveys. We wanted to get feedback from healthcare providers and other service providers who work with women in the community to get their views about our breastfeeding program and about also about the barriers. So we had community surveys, and we had 41 participants, including employers, childcare providers, healthcare practitioners, and again, public health providers. The objective was to solicit input about existing breastfeeding resources and potential gaps in resources, as well as community attitudes toward breastfeeding and reactions to the focus group results that Elizabeth just outlined. Part of the survey was targeted towards specific groups. There were childcare providers, employers, as well as breastfeeding facilitators. And so this is just a small snapshot of the feedback that we got about the resources that they have at their sites. We interviewed 15 employers, and 10% of those said that they had a written breastfeeding policy. 43% of those employers stated that it would be somewhat or very difficult to provide private pumping room for the mothers. Some other things that employers cited was a lack of space, either for pumping or for a refrigerator, also a lack of resources, funding resources for a refrigerator, and also just scheduling conflicts. Two of three childcare providers did not provide breastfeeding resources, but they said that they would like to see more breastfed infants in their facility. And then the last group that we interviewed was breastfeeding group facilitators. And five of six of those thought that African American women were less likely to participate in postpartum groups. We also wanted to get their feedback as to why African Americans might be less likely to participate in postpartum groups. Some of the reasons cited were conflicts with work issues and the time in which the group meets. Also, a lack of support with other family obligations such as childcare. Transportation was an issue because some of the women only use public transportation. And then also that groups are typically not held in African American communities, and so this was a barrier. We also asked the community survey participants for, again, their feedback as to the interventions that the focus group participants listed. And we asked them to rank them from the most effective to the least effective, as well as from the most doable to the least doable. They cited that the most effective intervention would have been to establish a buddy system or peer mentoring system. They felt that one-on-one support was important. They also felt that the most doable intervention would have been to develop information about the benefits of breastfeeding, and obviously this is already abundantly available. So with the focus group, feedback and the feedback from the community surveys, we took this to our alliance partners and we asked, well, what can we do? What kind of pilot intervention can we bring to the community? So we decided to do a short series of support groups. We launched these earlier this year in February, and we had a total of 14 women. There was a good mix of women. We had a mix of pregnant and postpartum women. We also had a mix of marital status, age, and income. Most of the women had, or all of the participants had at least some college education. The groups were led by a Caucasian lactation consultant and an African-American breastfeeding educator. The groups, all of the sessions had a breastfeeding theme, such as milk storage or food introduction, and we tested the knowledge of breastfeeding and pre and post-test measures at each session. But I should say that really the sessions were devoted to the mother's concerns and their questions. They wanted a lot of advice, and so that's where we focused. After analyzing the data, we looked at our pre and post-test breastfeeding knowledge, and we saw that the odds of responding correctly on the post-test question was 3.6 times the odds of responding correctly to the pre-test measure. Education, age, and parity were tested independently, and we saw that there is no significant contribution from these characteristics in explaining the increase in breastfeeding knowledge. At the end of our support groups, which lasted for 9 weeks, we had two focus groups sessions with the participants. We had a total of 10 women who participated in these sessions. We wanted to gauge their acceptability of the support groups and also to get their ideas for improvement and whether this should be a long-term fixture in Durham. From those findings, we saw that the women preferred an all African-American group. They felt more comfortable to discuss their breastfeeding problems and also any other concerns that they had. They had a preference for a leader who was qualified, who knew how to address their technical issues or technical concerns. And even though they appreciated the feedback that they got from other mothers, they did not prefer that this be only a mother-led group. Also, they had a preference for weekly meetings. They felt that this would be really helpful, especially for mothers new to breastfeeding. Our sessions were held in a centrally located African-American church, and so they had a preference for a community-based site for support group sessions, and they preferred this over existing services such as at other healthcare providers or at clinics, and they cited that they had low to moderate satisfaction with these other existing groups. We said that we had like the Cadillac of breastfeeding support groups because we did offer childcare, transportation, and food. And these were amenities that the women said that they all liked and that they preferred, and they felt that it would attract other women to the groups. I'm going to skip that slide. So that was what we did with our two-year funding source. And through this whole process, we learned many things about the CBPR process. Some of the strengths that we saw was that it helped to support an open and honest dialogue between the community and the university. It also helped to engage community actors in exploring and identifying solutions to this disparity. It also helped to increase the community and the university to engage in future collaborations, and this is something that I'll be discussing in a minute. And then also it helped to recruit or to support our recruitment efforts because we were able to use our alliance members to help contact their clients and to get them with our support groups. Some of the challenges that we saw with this process was that the two-year time frame to get this whole project out was it was confining in many ways. There were challenges for creating a shared base of knowledge as well as relationship building and creating trust while meeting the expectations of the research deliverables. We also found that the institutional review board process can be a hindrance to community engagement, and that maintaining continuity of partners is very important. It was good to have the people at, you know, from the community and from the university to be from the start to the finish of the whole process. And so some of our next steps for the Best for Babies project is to disseminate our findings, which we're doing today and through other conferences. We're also compiling a compendium that will be gone, will go out to our community partners, and also we are doing a manuscript that we hope to publish. We are seeking continuation funding. This will be a multi-level approach that we'll be seeking funding for through the NIH for a 5-year grant that will include social media and lactation support, training of African American lactation consultants. Also, we are seeking to maintain our support groups. I should say, after that initial pilot phase, we were able to continue them on for a short time, and so we're still looking for other resources and means to do that. And also, we're hoping to maintain or looking on our maintaining our relationship in the community as well as with our alliance partners. Okay, and I just wanted to say that our principal Cohen. Our university principal investigator is here, Tammy Ringel-Kolka in the back, and also another steering group member, Miriam LeBox. So thank you, if there's any questions.
There were, I think, 3 women that came only 1 or 2 times, but the vast majority of them were women that came virtually every time. And they were offered twice a week. We had a daytime group and an evening group, and there were some women that even chose to come twice a week. And I think for some of them, it was just a way to get out and be with other women who maybe were bucking what was expected for them as far as breastfeeding, and it was a nice place for them to feel okay with what they were doing.
Roger. Great work. It's really exciting to see this kind of work all pulling together, and great to see that you're going after NIH funding in a bigger way for it. The RRB issue that you raised, we all know it's important and essential, but we also know sometimes it can be cumbersome. Can you elaborate on what the issues were a little bit? It's really interesting for all of us.
Sure, and Liz, you can jump in at any time, but really because this was a partnership and we were talking with the community every step of the way, and we were saying, okay, now we have to submit an IRB application for this and for each iteration of the project, because it really was an iterative process. And so there were things that we couldn't do and things that we could do, and we would say, well, we really can't do that because the IRB says we can't do that. Or you have to use this language when you send out notification about the focus groups because this is IRB language that's been approved. So those kinds of things, you know, just are uncomfortable because they have their own ways of reaching out. And so it felt confining at times. Well, I mean, our first thought was that we wanted to find an African-American lactation consultant, but we couldn't find an African-American lactation consultant. So this was what we saw as the next best thing. And we did have a conversation around that in the focus groups following this 9-week series. And the women said that they were okay with it, that they felt like it was a really nice partnership that we had set up. The one woman was very, very skilled and had the expertise to handle very technical questions, whereas the other woman, they felt like she was like them. She had multiple children. They could talk to her as a sister, but she didn't necessarily have all the expertise that but they like that.
So we'll take one more question now, and then there'll be time later for more. Yes.
It's almost like two questions. First of all, how visible is the LHU in your area? And then second is your counseling program through WIC as strong as it is in Mississippi?
Do you want to take that one?
So, yeah. Okay, good.
And brief.
Okay. Yes, we do have a Leche League in Durham, but again, it does not offer support groups in the African American community. And we do have a peer counseling program through WIC. I did attend a few of those sessions, but I didn't see that they were well attended by women of any ethnicity. Of course, I was only there for a short time, so I can't say that that was representative.
Concerning La Leche League, the name in Mississippi and our population is very high in African Americans. We have changed our location to a family center. We've changed our location to a church. We've changed our location to a housing project. So we do relocate to try to reach the all the population. So we've been successful somewhat in Starkville with that. So
yeah,
is there to support you.
That's fantastic. And I would add that in continuing the groups, we do have a La Leche League leader who is helping to continue the groups through volunteer support. So we have reached out to La Leche League.
Great. Thank you.